This episode contains some explicit language.
I was one of those annoying kids in the classroom that always raised my hand, but why? But I don't understand. Why? Well, when I did the intro to Judaism class, I thought they were going to kick me out of the class because I need to know if I'm going to connect with something or someone, I need to know your why. Because if it doesn't connect with my why, we're probably not going to jive.
Welcome back to the Four Questions podcast. It has been an extraordinary year. We've had over 500 listeners to the podcast, and we couldn't be more excited by what this has become.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I even had a friend of mine send me a text, you know, because we have the podcast is available on Spotify, right? And Spotify at the end of every year will tell you, here's all the songs you listen to. This was your favorite song. And they even include podcasts now. So my friend said, hey, look, and it said on the screenshot, it says, you listened to some really cool podcasts this year. And your favorite was the Four Questions podcast. And that made my entire 2018.
I think it made mine too.
There's a mutualness of makingness of the 2018s.
So this has really been a passion project for Logan and myself. And we have learned quite a bit in the first 4 months since release. And we're looking forward to what the initial phases of 2019 will bring. And since we're talking about passion, we are excited by the guest that we have today, which is Danielle Gertner, who is the founder and CEO of Gertner Grind. And what we are, what her entire conversation really focuses on is the importance of passion and emotion. So yeah,
this episode was recorded back in June, and it's been one of the episodes that I've been very excited to get out and release, because I think that as a guest and as a person, she brings a great energy to the space and offers some really raw truth about what it's like to be going at it on your own at something that you are really passionate about.
You know, and the reason we waited and we had some internal discussions about when to release this particular episode, but why we decided at the end of the year to push it towards the end of the year is because now's the time each of us as individuals are starting to think about, what are we going to do in this next year? How are we going to get there? And while some of our other episodes have focused on exact avenues to get there, the most important aspect before you can get into the baby steps or the actual doing is to have a passion for it. And so we want to start this year off right by inspiring individuals to really think of their own passions, and through that passion, lay out their plan as we turn the calendar from 18 to 19.
Wow, that's incredible just to think that it's like another year. It's like, it goes by. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
It does. And beyond missing it, I think if we don't focus on it, we lose sight of it. And I think that's 100%. Why we're excited to have this opportunity. So without further ado, enjoy this conversation with Danielle Gertner. I would love to hear more about Fitrepreneur. How did you come to that terminology? What does Fitrepreneur mean to you? And how do you practice that?
So Fitrepreneur is not really a new term. It's kind of floating out there in the world. And I, from my perspective, it's an entrepreneur who's in the wellness space, who embodies, you know, holistically, for me, it's a holistically healthy lifestyle. And that includes physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. So hopefully we get into the question of how my definition of entrepreneurship and just health has changed since I got into the industry. And I can tell you now, if you just want me to tell you now.
You might as well.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
So because I already forgot the second half of your question, so I'm just going to keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. Note to self, stop asking too much.
This is how the podcast is going to go. So, that's basically my definition of a fitchpreneur, an entrepreneur who's in the health and wellness space. And my definition, really, when I started working out and teaching boot camps, it was really for the aesthetics, right? I want to look good. I want to feel strong. And very quickly, I learned the more I learned about wellness, the more I learned how much I didn't know, which happens with a lot of things, and started to peel back those layers of the onion and realize, wow, there's so much more to fitness. I really don't even use the term fitness anymore. I really try to use the term wellness and holistic, healthy living. I just realize you could be really physically fit. I have a lot of friends who are bikini competitors or just live they look swole, got the six pack, but are lacking a lot of other areas of wellness, which is one of the reasons I was so excited to be on the podcast, because of your guys' holistic approach to this type of lifestyle. And very much now we focus a lot more on mental, spiritual, and emotional health in addition to the physical side. And that to me is what makes a healthy person, is well-roundedness.
What does wellness mean to you?
Wellness to me, and I know one of the questions that I had read over was about finding this balance. And that's really what wellness means to me, is finding a balance in life that works with who you are, what you value, and what motivates you, and living your life that way every single day. And if you can wake up saying, I do the things I do because I want to do them, because they speak to my heart and soul, and because they excite me, then you are a well person. And that's really what I try to get my clients, try to get them to that mindset. And what I try to work on every day too is letting go of the things that no longer serve you and welcoming the things that do, and having the majority of your life be surrounded by those things and a lot less of the things that, oh, I just have to do this because I have to do this. So
what's the one thing that wakes you up in the morning?
Well, the foundation of my business is The World Is Your Gym. And I'm so ridiculously crazy, passionate, like burning through my eyeballs, passionate about making wellness fit people's worlds, no matter what they look like, no matter what those worlds look like. Because I'm honestly really sick and tired of how the media portrays fitness and wellness and what you have to look like, what you should look like. And these are the things that you have to do in order to get there. And quite frankly, it's bullshit, because it doesn't work for everybody. We don't fit in a box. We're all unique. We have unique values. We have unique things that motivate us and drive us. And the fact that I know that I can show people that they can make a wellness routine that excites them so much that they stop looking at it as a chore and look at it as, wow, this is really actually really freaking fun. That's what wakes me up in the morning, because I love to be creative. I love to have fun with people. And I know there's a need to just break and tear down this idea of this intimidating beast that wellness has been portrayed to be. So that's what wakes me up. I'm like, all right, whose perspective am I going to change today? And that's what that's what I do.
thinking about what you do. I feel like we just brought it on.
And I feel like if you don't do the hands, then it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Right?
Great podcast radio right now is using hand gestures to experience.
Oh, 100%, Adam. 100% agree with you.
So we've just talked about what inspires you, kind of what wakes you up in the morning. What's the thing that keeps you up at night?
Keeps me up at night is, at least right now, is figuring out how to reach more people. I mean, to be honest, and this is a natural, I think, struggle in a business owner's life, is how do I reach more people doing what I genuinely love to do with the same pure passion intentions while making more money, because I have hit a ceiling because I love to give and don't always like to receive. And so what's keeping me up now is how do I kind of get this out to the masses, and how do I impact as many people as possible, not just in Gainesville, but around the country and around the world, that need to hear this message and need to know, like, hi, we can make something that's customized to your lifestyle. And there's a little person somewhere out there who's 5'2" is going to bring it to you.
You know, you're just talking about, you know, it's easy to give, sometimes hard to receive. And yeah. It's really one of our 11 components yes. is this idea of love. Mm-hmm. And love is not just about giving love. It's also about being open and embracing the receipt of love. So it's interesting you mentioned that because it's really powerful. So as you're thinking about this for yourselves and this challenge that you're going through, keeping you up at the wee hours in the morning, what advice would you give yourself when you were in college, now just starting your career or in the middle of what you're accomplishing and doing right now?
What advice would I give myself about starting the business, like about owning a business?
If you had the opportunity, knowing what you know now, going back and giving yourself some advice, what would that advice be?
I think the first thing would have been slow down. Not slow down and don't start the business, because I don't regret at all. Literally the month I graduated, I went on sunbiz.org and registered my fictitious name. But slow down in the sense of, let's look at the big picture. How is this going to pan out? It's so interesting because I'm such a type A personality. When I was in school, I still have an appointment book as my planner. I don't do anything on my phone. I write out my goals. But when you're an entrepreneur, many things are unknown. And people ask me all the time, what's your 1-year goal? What's your 3-year goal? What's your 5-year? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just riding the wave right now. But when I was when I started the business, I wish I would have just thought through my business structure and my revenue model, because I was like, oh, I'm just going to teach boot camps. Well, hi, Danielle, you can only be in one place at one time teaching one boot camp. So that kind of limits my reach and the amount of money that I could make. And so this last 6-7 months has been a huge transition. I launched an online training program in January to kind of shift that business structure. And it's been really hard to do it. And I think if I would have kind of slowed myself down a little bit and had a little bit more of a direction, maybe I would have caught that. Maybe not. But I'd like to hope that I maybe would have caught that. So that's probably one of the biggest advices for anyone starting. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't need to know what you want to do, end goal. I don't have an end goal. I'm kind of enjoying the ride, but have an understanding of the decisions you're going to make. Really, really, really think them through. I'm also very impulsive. I'm an Aries. So I'm very impulsive. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to think this through. We're just going to do it. I'm like, whatever happens, shit, we'll figure it out. So that's probably, hey, Danielle, slow down in the future.
So you think that the aspect of, you know, you have this idea, you want to make it into a business, and then you want to scale it very quickly. Mm-hmm. You're saying that you kind of like went so far in that direction that you kind of needed to just dial it back a little bit.
Well, I didn't really think of this scalability at the time. The structure that I had, I couldn't scale because I was teaching, and I still do. I teach 10 boot camps a week, and it's just me, and that's a lot. And I get, you know, burned out like anybody normal human would. And I wish I would have thought about, well, how could you grow this beyond Gainesville and beyond yourself without making you driving yourself into the ground. But it's been a fun, I've learned more about myself in the last 2 years than I did all 4 years of college. That's for sure.
So thinking about this idea of wellness with this idea of success, how do you define success?
So glad you asked that. Quick tangent. I was in South Florida this weekend for the Millionaire Mind Intensive. And we did a lot of perspective breaking and open yourself up to redefining your definition of success. So for me, success is finding this balance of pure fulfillment, genuinely genuine about your career and what you're doing and the work that you're doing, and making an income and a living that you see comfortable, and finding that balance. And to me, that is success. And in the process, reaching as many people as possible, giving as much as you possibly can. But you have to ultimately find that balance of being fulfilled and bringing in, you know, whatever amount of money that you think you need to live a healthy life. I think, I was naive in thinking at first that success is just about fulfillment. And until you learn, you know, you need some money in there to help you live and survive and thrive. Yeah, finding that balance. You're going to hear me talk about balance a lot.
That's good. That's what this experience is about.
Yeah. Funny you should mention that.
So you talk about being an Aries. You talk about being an A-type personality. Going a little deeper, how would you define your personality?
So that's a good one. The first thing that comes to mind is loud and blunt. I'm a very blunt person, and I used to shy away from that, but now, I mean, I own my own business. I can be as blunt as I want to. no, but I'm very loud and blunt. I am very genuine. Any way that you see me, I mean, no makeup, gym clothes, I say what I feel. That is something that is consistent no matter what room I'm in or who I'm in front of. I'm also a lover. I come from a place of pure love, and I'm like getting goosebumps because it's like really, I don't want to live my life any other way. And I'm kind of crazy. I mean, if you take a boot camp with me, if you've ever taken a boot camp, you know that I'm loud and I'm in your face and I'm energetic, and I just really am on this mission to get the most I can out of life. And I like to have fun. What else? I have a very witty sense of humor. Some people don't like it. I'm very sarcastic.
We'll be the judge of that.
I can be very sarcastic.
Once again, we'll judge.
Okay, that's cool. You'll edit out later. Just gonna paint a new picture of me.
Apologize to our listeners in advance.
So, yeah, I think holistically, genuine, loud, kind of crazy. But it comes from a place of love and a genuine wanting to help people as much as I can, because I know it's possible to shatter those mindsets if you just let me in.
So I'm going to ask two questions, but what I learned from the start is don't ask them at the same time.
Yeah, please.
So the baby first steps. Question, baby steps. So the first question is, in thinking about your personality, who are the type of people you like to build relationships with and hang out with? What are those personality types?
That's a really interesting question. And I think it changes as you change, because that has actually really, really changed for me. Hence my crystal effing clarity, so you don't have to bleep me out, blog post. And I went through a really big transformation of letting a lot of people go that were in my life, because I realized I was in a different mindset. And so the people that I surround myself with now are very growth minded. And again, not in regards to just money, but becoming the best person they can be holistically, and people that challenge themselves constantly. And it's so funny, I'm saying this and I'm thinking of my friend Sam, who I actually did the podcast with, Colin, because I really value her energy and friendship. And those are the people that I've been seeking out, people who give off this genuinely great energy. They're comfortable in their own skin, no matter who they are or what they represent, they own it. And that's empowering, because it empowers you to own your own shit. And that encompasses a lot of things.
We've been talking about bleeping and there's come in. No, I'm kidding. I mean, kidding. Be yourself.
I'm staying.
Be you.
Okay.
I love it.
But I'm staying away from the F word. I'm trying. It might slip, but I'm trying. But
what happened?
Energy has become really, really important to me. And this is interesting, because I was raised Jewish. I didn't really understand why I was Jewish. My parents, we were very reformed, and you know, I don't even think they understand really why we represent what we represent. And the more I learned about it, the more I just dove into this idea of spirituality and energy and the importance of protecting your energy, because I really think there's two things in life you can't get back, and that's your time and your energy. And so the people that I'm going off on tangents, I apologize, but the people that I've spend my time with now are the ones that put out that good energy and good vibes. And we break so past these surface level conversations of, hey, how are you? How's your job? And we just dive in so quickly. Like Sam and I mean, man, we get into these like hour long conversations of, you know, what is life and what is wellness, and why is there such an issue with people having access to organic foods, was a conversation we had a while ago. And, those conversations, I don't have very many friends, and I'm okay with that, because the ones that I do are, you know, the good ones.
Yeah, they say that the best thing to do is circle yourself with five great friends. Yep. That's the most important thing. I will say, so here's the second question on that. So here you are, you're doing Gertner Grind.
Gertner Grind.
We're
guys. Nice.
And you're surrounded by a bunch of different people.
I am.
That might or might not fit that kind of personal desire to surround yourself with.
Yes.
So thinking about that, how do you inspire, motivate, and embrace those different personality types as you work to help them in this mission and passion for wellness?
That is a fantastic question. And I think that is really a key to so many professions, and that is adaptability when it comes to your teaching style, and a genuine desire to learn who a person is deep inside beyond what the words that they say, actually feeling their energy and see, looking at their body language and understanding, you know, are they really into this, or like, is my coaching style really working for them? And it's been really challenging because you're right. No two people think the same way. No two people have the same why. And you have to become really good at navigating that. And I think one thing that we do really well, and this I celebrate with my, I have grind turns now. Yes, they're my grind turns.
I'm kind of intrigued.
How many, talk about them.
Yes, definitely get to them.
Yeah, I have six of them. They're great. They will listen to this podcast. But you know, through my grind turns and I'm doing a program right now called Own Your Grind. And through my online program, we talk about this grind mindset. What does it take to be a grinder, to take ownership over your wellness journey? And we talk about a lot of the characteristics that I feel have gotten me to where I am and what will help others get to where they want to be. And a lot of that includes, you know, self-assurance and initiative and consistency and adaptability. And that's what I talk about a lot in my boot camps. And hope that they see through representation and that we're leading by example that these characteristics are what you need to change your life.
It's a really, which you've talked about a lot in a lot of your beliefs and a lot of the things that really are your passions. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you think about your beliefs and your assumptions and your own biases, what do you do to challenge those assumptions, beliefs, and biases?
Another great question. You guys are so on point with what I think makes a fulfilling life and is doing just that, challenging what you, how you see the world and why you see the world that way. And I think it starts with getting into conversations with people that are way below the surface, shattering through the, hey, how are you? How's work going? Surface level conversations. I don't have very many of those anymore, and I love that. And it's about not being afraid to get into the, you know, deep waters with people and kind of see who freaks out and who doesn't. And
you could see my face is ghost white right now.
Yeah.
It's not.
Surface level.
Yes.
But it really, it's about having those conversations and not being afraid of those conversations. And when somebody says something that you don't necessarily agree with, not being quick to judge and not being quick to attack, but asking questions like, that's so interesting. Tell me more. I don't understand. Can you explain it a different way? And that, those two questions have really been the key to me kind of untapping this. Well, man, maybe I should think about the way I see this certain thing and this certain person and you reframed it in a different light, and I'm going to try that. And I think the other thing too, which, you know, kind of cliche, but guys, really the key is putting yourself in situations that make you uncomfortable. So going to a temple of the universe or, you know, the first time I tried acro yoga, like totally changed my life. I do acro yoga all the time now. So it's these little things that just putting yourself out there and not being afraid of, I think we have this overwhelming fear that we're going to be rejected and turned down because of our beliefs. And first of all, if you are being rejected and turned down, you're probably hanging around the wrong people because my friends don't always agree with me. I don't want to be around people who just always, yeah, Danielle, you're always right. This is great. But they don't push me down because they don't agree with me. They don't tell me that my opinion or my thought process is wrong. We challenge each other. And that's how I think you change those perspectives.
So in thinking about spirituality, and you kind of talked about spirituality, what does this idea of spirituality mean to you? Or, and I'm going to throw something in there,
yeah,
spirituality or religion.
Okay.
Right? Because they can sometimes mesh and sometimes not mesh.
They dance with each other.
They dance with each other.
They do.
They're invited to the dance floor, yeah, depending on who you ask,
yeah,
is whether they not engage with each other.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I'm still very much on this journey of kind of figuring out, am I religious or am I spiritual or am I both? Can you be both at the same time? Which to me, yes, you can. So to me, spirituality is first and foremost looking within and diving really deep into who you are, what you represent, what is that inner voice that talks to you, what does it say, and why do you think it says that? And then how does all that information mesh with the world around you? How are you in tune with the universe's energy and nature and situations that happen to you? And it's kind of this whole nebula, it's like looking for the right word, of just like energy. I really look at spirituality as energy, and I feel like religion could be the same way, but connecting with energy to a higher being. So God or the universe or whatever it is. So that's really my definition is being very in tune with your own energy and the universe's energy and how those energies mix and mesh together.
What does it
Never
mean?
Been asked that before.
No, that's a good great. Question. Is what does it then mean to be devoted to self, others, religiosity, whatever it means to you? What does it mean to be devoted?
To be devoted to me means making it a priority that you are putting, you know, if we're talking about to be devoted to yourself, putting yourself first. And again, a lot of people shy away from this because it seems selfish, but in actuality, I mean, you're the one who controls what you put out into the world. You're the one who controls the relationship that you have, how strong or weak they are, based off how much you allow yourself to grow and kind of reset and thrive. And that's it. It's prioritizing it and making a commitment to own that priority and to put the time and energy into growing with whatever it is you're devoted to.
Yeah, you talk about selfish, and I tend to think that selfishness, that leads to selflessness is the goal. And you can't be selfless if you don't understand self. If there is one question, because you've talked a lot, very powerfully, about removing the surface. And how you do that is really delving in, not being afraid to ask specific questions. It really just lay out on the line individual thoughts and the depth of conversations. What's the one question you believe is essential to moving a relationship from surface to depth?
Ooh. I think one of the... There's a few, but I'll give you one because you asked for one. The first thing that pops into my mind is what do you value? And most importantly, why? I don't think we ask why enough. And I'm a big why person. I was one of those annoying kids in the classroom that always raised my hand, but why? But I don't understand why? Well, when I did the intro to Judaism class, I thought they were going to kick me out of the class because I need to know if I'm going to connect with something or someone, I need to know your why. Because if it doesn't connect with my why, we're probably not going to jive. Connect with my why in some way, right? So, you know, if you think about the people you hire, that you want them to have similar values to you, and the people that you spend your life with, your partner, want them to have similar values. And the people I spend my time with, you're my partner, you know, and that maybe not forever, but in this moment. And so that's what I want to know. What do you value and why do you value it? Why is that important to you?
That's an amazing question.
Thank you.
You know what? Maybe that's our question for social media.
That could be our social media
question. That's amazing.
I take credit.
Yeah.
Tag me.
We would definitely tag you.
Hashtag question creds.
You forget, millennials.
Forget photo creds. Question
hashtag
creds.
Hashtag question creds. We're going to need to find the question mark emoji, yeah, and then just put question mark emoji colon and then tag.
I feel completely out of the loop in this conversation, and I'm just laughing.
Why I'm here.
I'm just laughing
you
of nervousness.
Oh,
amazing. Amazing. So here's the big four.
All right. Okay. Ready for it.
And
So the hope is to get as deep as you feel comfortable with.
Okay. Makes me anxious and like it's great.
Good, good. Good Jewish anxiousness. Yeah. This is at our best. That and guilt.
Yeah. We are good at that. Oh my God. My mom is the queen. Isn't every Jewish mother and grandmother just the queen of the Jewish guilt?
Why are you starting a business?
No, I'm actually very lucky. Good. They were so and are still so supportive of it. And I know a lot of people don't have that luxury of having family that supports their crazy dreams. And I am very lucky that I have a family that gung-ho is like, let's grind.
So support your dreams is upset you're not home enough.
It's more so like, so my mom, it's funny, anybody who listens to this who knows me, my mom is a care package queen. She loves, I mean, and I love it.
I've heard that term before.
No, my mom is this, but like, on crack, like she has no limits, and it got to the point where like, Mom, I really appreciate your gifts. I mean, it's all great stuff, but like, it's enough. Like, chill, and then no,
that's amazing,
and then I think really like in spite of that, sends me like 3 more packages. Wonderful. Just to be like, yeah, shut up.
What, you don't love me enough? What's the best care package you got from your mom?
I mean, oh my God, all of them are so great. I'm a big fan of soaps. Our whole family is like really nice soaps. I know it's weird. Soaps and clothes. It's okay. You can laugh.
I'm sorry, it's fantastic. Now I feel like we're in Fight Club.
Yeah.
We can't be in Fight Club, Adam, because you don't talk about Fight Club.
Very true. Very true. Oh, very true.
You just broke the first rule of Fight Club.
First and second rule.
I've been known to break some rules.
I like
I'm
it.
I'm going to be in trouble.
But yeah, she sends me like really nice soaps. So I don't ever have to buy a bar of soap, I think, again for the rest of my life. Because I literally have 2 baskets full of soap. So if you guys need a bar of soap, I should have brought you a bar of soap.
Yes. Now I
new fresh off the press, Gertner Grind bar soaps.
Grind soaps. Grind soap. For all of your sweaty needs.
Grind the grime off after boot camp. You know what I mean?
I love guys.
Grind the grime. That was awesome. Awesome.
We're on to something. Great.
You know what? This is a whole
soap creds.
Soap creds.
I get plastic creds.
You're going to
do the showerhead emoji and then just.
You were just talking about how to go national. Grind the grime.
This is the way.
This is, you could throw a bath bomb express as well.
Like my whole like personal hygiene has just elevated since my care packages from my mom. Okay. That in clothes, like she's really like this whole outfit, I won't lift show you my sports bra. I'm just gonna splash you. It's a matching set. Just
sounds
trust
amazing.
Me there.
Sounds amazing.
And she's really on point. I always look cute in my gym clothes because of my mom. So, Mom, thank you very much.
That's awesome.
I'm always looking good while I grind.
Well, I mean, I think that cleanliness, physical cleanliness, is an important aspect of health. Too,
yes,
right?
Yes. And if this is my business professional, which is like sneakers and gym clothes, I have to be at my prime of my sneakers and gym clothes. Right. Like I have to walk in looking like I'm in style because people always give me weird looks when I walk into like everyone's dressed in business heels and a suit, and I'm over here like, yeah.
Or you're like, yeah.
I know how uncomfortable you are.
I can see it on your faces.
I'm not sorry because you have a choice. Okay.
I love that because you were talking earlier about that as well, and this idea that you got to be comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
And your skin ultimately is transitioned through what you wear and how you act.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you powerful in the sense, or empowered, not powerful, but empowered.
Empowered, yeah.
That's amazing. So the big four.
The big four.
You ready?
Big four.
What does living a balanced life mean to you, and how do you accomplish it?
The question of the life, right? Isn't that what we search for all of us? So for me, living a balanced life means living a life of fulfillment and doing the things that energize you and speak to you and excite you every single day with the people who energize and excite you every single day. And really it comes back to becoming crystal effing clear on who you are and what you want and living that out, making sure that you live that out, because that is I mean, I think that's the key to balance, is kind of going through the ebbs and flows of life, not always knowing what the answer is and not always knowing where you're going to end up next, but using that, you know, inner voice and drive to guide you. Yeah, balance.
So finding balance can be difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we all struggle,
yeah,
even as we're trying to grow. And in thinking about the 11 components in front of you, these are the ones on our website, kind of the aspects of how we define religion as much more than just faith, mm-hmm, is which one resonates with you most and why?
Ooh, the most. It's hard because I see like all of them. So I'm going to have to say...
That's why they're all in front of you.
Yeah. That you can edit out.
We're keeping that.
We're keeping Adam's names. And we're keeping that.
Please keep that. So I think out of all of these, and this is hard, and I think you might even be surprised on what my answer is. It's emotional. If you haven't gotten that from everything I've said over the last half hour, being aware of your emotions, and just deeper than that, again, I go back to the clarity because I really do feel like that is the secret key to life. If you are not clear on who you are and what you want and what you don't want and what doesn't drive you, I think you're really stuck. You know, most people that are like, I don't like my job or whatever it is, the pain points in life, haven't taken the time to sit down and look within themselves and figure that stuff out, because I really do believe all the answers are right there inside you if you just shut up and listen sometimes. So I have to say emotional, being really, really aware of what those emotions are, being very in tune with your energy and being selfish with that energy.
So as you think about that component, that emotion, how do you in your life best embody that characteristic in who you are and what you value and in your life?
I live it, first of all. And I think that's the biggest way, if you want to embody something, is live it and live it every single day, no matter what situation you're in. Because to me, that means that's a true value of yours. If you're living it consistently, then you know. And constant practice. I mean, it's not that I'm always super in tune with my emotions and I've got this all figured out, but bringing myself back to making sure that I'm practicing it and strengthening it, just like you strengthen anything else, I do think it's a muscle. And you have to work on it and build it over time. And I encourage other people to become more in tune with it, with their emotions and their energy and spirituality as well. And
so in thinking about that and thinking about what you just talked about in balance, what's you're passionate about and what you value and how you take it in your own life or how you do it in your own life, what's one piece of advice you would offer others to those seeking to find greater balance in their lives?
I think take the time. Take the time with yourself. And again, I know a lot of these answers are overlapping, but I think that shows the importance of the taking the time, because a lot of people don't take the time. They will read the books, they will go to the seminars, they will, you know, listen to the podcast. But when they're instructed to do something like, hey, why don't you sit down and brain dump all your values, all your perspectives, what you think they are. Very few people actually take the time to do that stuff and to do it consistently, because just because you brain dump once doesn't mean in 4 months you're going to feel the same way. We change every single day. And that's my biggest advice, is take the time. Schedule it in your schedule if you have to. Pull out your iPhone and like set an alarm. But actually take the time to do it, because when you do it and when you do it consistently, you start to notice patterns, which is what happened to me. I'm like, wow, I have this overlapping pattern of initiative. I must really care and value initiative. And I do. So that is the biggest advice. If you want to find balance, you need to take the time to get really crystal, and now I'm going to say it, crystal fucking clear on who you are, what you want, and why you want it, and then all the things that you don't want and why, and start making the decisions in your life based off of those things. Because then it becomes pretty simple to make decisions. I know what I want, at least when it comes to values and perspectives, and if this doesn't align with my values, it should realistically be a simple choice. And I think people struggle with decision making because they don't know what they want, and something pops up in front of them and they're like, I don't know. Well, take the time, figure it out, because the answers are there.
Powerful. Powerful
stuff.
Thank you. This is awesome.
I do have like one or two like
Please.
Additional things
just
to expand
Ask
upon.
Away.
So for those of you tuning in, you may have realized we brought up this concept of being clear versus being crystal fucking clear. And so I want to let you know that that Danielle wrote a really amazing piece about this called Crystal Fucking Clarity. It's on Medium. And so I just wanted give her a chance to talk about like you talk about the difference between specifically like the textbook definition of clarity versus crystal fucking clarity. Can you speak to that just a little bit for our audience?
Absolutely. So, you know, clarity is and do you want to read what I don't remember the textbook definition. It should be in there somewhere.
We'll end up putting this on we'll put this on online with the with
oh, okay,
the
perfect. So, okay, cool. So they can see it.
Show notes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So clarity, the quality of being easy to see or hear, sharpness of image or sound, according to dictionary.com.
Yes.
Do you want me to go with crystal fucking clear now that I've had the pleasure of saying it as well?
Yeah. It just rolls off the
just
tongue.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Just let it roll.
You're not wrong.
Just let it roll.
The quality of being easy to see or hear, sharpness of image or sound, deep internal excitement, passion and confidence about this image or sound because you know it came from deep in your soul. This is according to the GERT.
Yeah. So building off of that, I've said the word genuine a lot. This concept of being genuinely genuine, as I like to say, has come up a lot in my life. And I feel like that is the key to crystal fucking clarity is being genuinely genuine about what you feel and why you feel it and not shying away that someone's going to take it wrong or things aren't going to work out. Because I really do believe that when you find, I mean, you feel it, right? If you guys done something where you just know in your heart and soul, you feel what you feel, right? And there's no questioning it. It comes from a place where you don't even know. It's there. And people really need to become in touch with that. And when you are in touch with that, you gain this unbelievable, really crystal fucking clarity because it's coming from your soul and it's coming from your true purpose. And, you know, we're getting spiritual here, but it, for me, that's my truth. And that is what I believe that, you know, you didn't ask me the question about my favorite books, but I thought about my books. So I'm going to mention one of them.
Are your five favorite books?
Well, I thought of three, but, okay. But the one that I want to bring
must
up
read
is
read books. That's the
must read.
Must reads.
So The Alchemist.
Oh,
is,
great book.
Yeah.
Great book.
One of my favorite books. And there's a passage in the book where the young boy is talking to the alchemist about this little voice in his heart. And the alchemist instructs him, you know, don't ever let that little voice go away because a lot of people do. And over time, the voice gets quieter and quieter and quieter. It'll always be there, but it's so quiet that people no longer hear it. And when I read that passage, I'm like, wow, I never want to be at the point where I don't hear that voice in my heart. I never want to silence that voice. And that voice to me is your soul and your true heart's purpose. And, you know, finding that is crystal fucking clarity. And listening to that is what I think leads you to living the most fulfilled, healthy, well life you can.
So now that you've obviously prefaced it, I guess we have to hear your other two books
you,
as well.
You do. I think you
can't,
do.
You can't say three and then not.
Yeah.
Not,
I only am giving
five.
You one.
That's good.
You have to be on cool. The next podcast to give us one,
okay,
right?
Okay, fine. So The Alchemist is definitely one of them. Great book. And I think you get something different from it every time you read it. You pick up new things. So that's a really good one. Another really good one is The Greatest Salesman in the World. I really, really like that book. And there's multiple of them that are like that. And that actually wasn't part of my three that just popped in my head just now. The next one that I read recently that I love is called Never Eat Alone. And this is Keith Ferrazzi. This book it's about networking, but it's about genuine networking and what networking should be. Because I think that the definition and just the stigma around networking has kind of gone to shit. People are like, it's super surface level. And his book really dives into how to really network, how to build genuine relationships, and not just to get something from somebody, but to build a relationship and to get the most out of life and out of people. And So fantastic book, and goes into his really crazy ways of networking and keeping in contact with people. But overall, great. And then the third one that
now
was
fourth.
On now fourth, but third one that was on my list walking in the door here this morning was The Power of Habit. Have either of you read that?
No.
Yep.
So Charles fantastic book, and has really, it's so interesting. I bring it up all the time. It's not that when I read it, it was like, it was a great book. It's not that it was my favorite book that I've ever read, but its relatability to everything in life is so, so fascinating. I bring it up all the time because 95% of our day, our subconscious mind is in control while we're driving and just doing the things that we do, where we don't really, our conscious brain doesn't need to be wasting energy. And it's very powerful if you stop and look at your subconscious mind, well, figuratively, but you know what I mean, where you take the time where we talked about to sit with yourself and listen, you realize some really powerful things and how your habits dictate your life. And we, goes into detail about how we, well, this is combining another podcast I listened to about the biology of belief, but, when we're young, we're absorbing information. We don't have much brainwave activity when we're, from when we're born to, they say, about 7 to 10 years old, where we're processing information and soaking in the world. And a lot of our habits come from that time, and we can't control that time. And, it's interesting. I went to this money mindset seminar this weekend, and people are like, why would you go to something like that? Because I have a very negative relationship with money, or I did until this weekend. Now it's super positive. and a lot of that came from the habits that were built and the things that I saw when I was a child, and I absorbed those things and brought them into my adult life. So anyway, long story short, it's a great book about recognizing how habits rule our world and how you can change some of the negative habits that you have by kind of untapping your subconscious mind and reworking and reframing some of the beliefs that you have. Mm-hmm. So it's a great book.
You have two more. Huh? You had some more.
One of the other things that you talked about was referencing back to the question about your personality. You talked about yourself being type A Aries and being a blunt person, but that it wasn't always that way.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like transitioning from, like, what were you like before?
So I've always been the same person, same kind of crazy, but just a little bit more shy about it and careful, like, oh, what situation am I in? Who am I talking to? So I would dial it down, if you will. And the transition has been empowering because it removed me from this fear of what other people think about me and this just releasing that fear of judgment. You either like me or you don't. And either way, cool. Like, that's the way it was meant to be. And I just stopped. Not that I don't care. That sounds kind of rude. I don't care what you think about me. But I'm just so confident in who I am and what I represent and why I represent it, that if you don't like me, then we're just not meant for each other. And that's fine. You don't have to like me. You will go and like who you like. And if you like me, great. I'm excited to build off the relationship. It's wasted energy. And that's what I realized. I was wasting a lot of energy caring if I, was too loud or I asked too many questions or if I said the wrong things. Like, and I still battle with this, right? Every day. But I've gained a lot of energy back and I feel more energized because I don't get stuck on, well, man, that person doesn't like me and I want to figure out why.
Yeah, you talk about it is, and I know it can sometimes come across as not caring or, I can hear it now. I was too far back. It can come across as not caring, but
yeah.
It's more so. You talked about time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking to transform the world, it's not about not caring about others. It's caring too much about the world we live in.
Yeah.
And we're not going to let the individual let us down from the massive impact we're looking to create.
Yep.
I think that ties really well into, the whole concept of being selfish first and then sort of that rolling over into becoming a selfless individual.
Yeah. And not being afraid of that. Because if you if you really want to change the world, you need to do it as genuinely you. Whoever that person is deep, deep, deep down inside, that's the person that's going to change the world. Not the person who's dancing around what other people think about them and changing, who they are in front of certain people. No, this is me. This is what you get. it's caring. It's actually caring so much about my life and the potential to live the most fulfilling life that leads me to not care what other people think. And I like the way you said that, because that's the key. It's all understanding that wasted energy, letting that negative energy pollute your positive energy, it brings you down, whether you recognize it at first or not. And you really, and it was a hard decision. I let go of a lot of friends. I let go of a really long relationship that I was in. And those things are painful. But what comes after that is absolutely incredible. This new, you know, all these things just ended up just popping into my life out of nowhere, these new relationships and friendships and activities that, and it really is because I cleared my mental space. I cleared room in my heart and my soul for these new things to come in.
That's amazing. And I know you had one more, correct?
I did. So Danielle, just want to thank you so much for joining us
this
morning.
Of course, it's awesome.
And want to give our listeners a chance to connect with you, find out more about you online. So where can they connect with you?
A couple different ways. So first and foremost, one of the biggest platforms I use is Instagram. So
yeah, I don't even know this thing.
This old man over here.
Thank you.
Find me on the gram at Gertner Grinds.
We talked a lot about grams differently in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure. Candy grams.
That's Gertner.
Grind. Yes. And that's the same across every social media platform. So facebook.com/Gertner Grind. If you really want to follow me on Snapchat, which is really just my cats, but feel free.
I'm sold.
Yeah. I have two really cute cats. So feel free to follow me on there. But and then my website, GertnerGrind.com. If you want to check out the bootcamp schedule, you want to learn more about the Grind Online with Gert program. I'd love to grind with you. I'd love to connect with you guys. So hit me up.
Awesome. So all of Danielle's social media and website information will be linked in the show notes. And if you have a question related to topics that we discussed in today's episode, reach out to us. You can find us at the Four Questions Podcast at the number 4 Questions Cast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Ask your question, hashtag it either the Four Questions Podcast or hashtag the number 4 QP, and we'll talk about it on our next week's episode. Hopefully we get some good questions answered and provide some even greater value for you all in next week's episode. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I feel like I'm sitting in my car and I just listened to that on a podcast. That was done so well.
It's amazing. Wow. It's amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
as Adam says, it's what I bring to the table.
It's really cool.
It's what we bring to the table.
100%.
You inspired us. We have grinded.
We
look better for this grind. We're working on it.
work in progress. We're currently getting ready to write out our plan.
Yeah.
This is
great.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
One of the things that stood out to me in this conversation was when we first started, I thought in our big four that she would go with health or kinetic or something in that space. And when she said emotion, it shocked me a little bit. But as I've been thinking about this episode and thinking about our conversation, there is no doubt that to get to that point of physical strength and physical regimen, you have to be emotionally full. You have to be emotionally set up to do it. And it she framed it in such a great way that it really was great learning from her in that capacity.
I think that she talked about being emotionally full, emotionally, but also emotionally self-aware, because that self-awareness allows us to have to develop that self-discipline, to keep up with that physical regimen. And then by keeping up with that physical regimen, that reinforces the mental energy we need to keep it going, and it becomes a positive snowball effect.
Yeah, I could agree with you more. I know there was a little bit of laughter, maybe a lot of laughter, which I love the entire experience. But one of the things
For those who don't know, it basically my work here as a producer is just editing out Adam's laugh tracks.
I love it.
Exhibit A.
A, B, and C.
Why don't we go through F and then we'll talk later.
I love it.
Okay.
That also works.
So grind the grime.
Grind the grime.
We were talking about soap and this idea of grind the grime and connecting it to her business venture. Metaphorically, I think grind the grime really is the essence of this process. And as we're meeting the new year, we all have great successes we can look back on over this year, and we can feel emotionally positive because of these successes we had. And I think we all are looking for this space of improvement. What are the things we can better within ourselves? Not weaknesses to change into positives, but more so this idea, how can we just be better overall and kind of grind that grime, that sense that's pulling us away from that self-discipline you just talked about, that sense of a emotional wholeness to get to that next level through that self-discipline to get to where we're looking to go. And I think if we take that grind the grime in that space or in that metaphorical space, then I think our conversation helps us to get rid of that layer that is preventing us from taking that step, whatever the step that is. So I really just like that idea of grind the grime.
It's interesting we talk about the grind, and the concept of the grind has become extremely popular on social media and in modern day pop culture as the sense of sort of keeping your head down, really focusing on doing what you want to do, honing on your craft, as they say. And one of the things that I think that Danielle does really well is that the reason I think that she incorporates the grind into her brand is because she's really trying to reframe what we think about the grind. Is that it's really about building for yourself a solid foundation based on something you truly love to do, but it's not necessarily at the expense of things like your physical and emotional health, whereas that's the reinforcing factor to ensure that you can keep up with the grind. Because if you do want to do it, like in her case, if you really want to do something on your own and stick it out there on your own, while it's becoming a more popular decision now, it is not the easy decision to make.
You know, I'm gonna go mathematical a little bit. I know your engineering mind will love this, but I'm gonna add another GRI word.
Okay.
So I think if we look at it, grime plus grind equals grit. And I think this is what I took away most from Danielle is her process really provides the ability to learn about and actually activate one's inner grit, and that's essential in today's world. I think it's past world, but where we are is today. So I think is if we can focus on that grime that we personally have, figure out and do the grind, we're going to learn that essential aspect necessary, which is grit.
I approve. I approve, Adam.
You know what? I felt if you didn't approve, I was lost in space right there, an abyss of validation I was seeking right there. So
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
No, I think, I'm embarrassed if there's a great TED Talk on grit. That is worthwhile for anyone.
I think I've
listening.
Seen this. I think I know which one you're talking about.
I'm going to mess it up. I think it's Angela Duckworth.
Angela Lee Duckworth. And the talk was titled Grit, the Power of Passion and Perseverance.
It is easy when we are in a great mood, when things are going well in life, to be consistent. The difference between grit and not grit is the simple aspect of what do we do when things aren't easy? What do we do when we're not at our best, or we find we are in turmoil? And you talk about consistency is going beyond the good times
and putting ourselves when we're in turmoil to make sure we're doing what we set out to do.
Right. It's all about setting ourselves up for pacification or perseverance. And
that's a good way of looking at it.
It's do we, when the times are tough, do we pacify ourselves by, let's say we end up deciding to, let me take a break and watch an episode of a show, and it ends up becoming a whole season. Definitely happened before. Mm-hmm. Or do we say, no, I set out to do X. I'm going to do X, even if I can't necessarily put something physical on it to show somebody that I worked today. I know that I worked today.
There are going to be times that it is going to be hard. And more importantly, there are going to be times where we are going to fail ourselves. And that's okay. The question is not failing and then stopping. The question is failing, identifying that we were not able to activate in that space. But when that next time comes, put that past behind us, refocus on consistency, and allow ourselves to put ourselves in a position that we are more consistently activating ourselves rather than pacifying the situation.
I think it's great that you brought up the concept of failure. There's a general fear of failure.
Absolutely.
And that fear of failure can prevent you from being consistent in those times when it really does get tough. Yep. But failure is ultimately how you truly learn.
How do we set ourselves up? Not for failure, but for success. And some of the stuff you just have to do, and you're going to mess it up, and you're going to, it's just not going to work. Whatever your New Year's resolution is, and thinking about what this episode has shared with us and what Danielle has provided for us, I really encourage to not go out and go full force. Think about how you can break down whatever that goal is in this coming year, looking at yourself and thinking, how am I going to get there? Not at the beginning of the year, but how am I going to take this goal and still be doing it at the end of the year? And so it's with that, we wish each and every one of our listeners a wonderful 2019. May it provide you great light, because it's a little bit dark for a lot of us. It gets dark early, but it may provide the light of hope, the light of opportunity, and the light of goodness. And throughout this next year, may all your goals, dreams, and prayers come true.
Thanks for tuning in with us on this final episode of the Four Questions podcast for the 2018 year. Remember, we talked about New Year's resolutions, but you don't have to wait until January 1. You can start them today. And we look forward to seeing you in the new year.